Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpuga. This evening we'll talk about lessons from Hissein Habre's conviction. And with us tonight is Seni Marane, a Gambian journalist. We're getting to him from Dakar, Senegal. Good evening, Seni. Hello, Seni. I think maybe we don't have him yet, but he'll be joining us momentarily as soon as we fix our lines. And we also have Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst. He's joining us from Durban, South Africa, as usual. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and good evening, our viewers.
Welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yes, and I don't know that we have now Seni on the line yet. Let's try to get him back on the line. We'll be getting him momentarily. Otherwise, as I said, our topic tonight, we're going to look at the lessons learned from Hissein Habre's conviction. The extraordinary African chambers in Senegal sentenced Habre, the dictator of Chad from 1982 to 1990, to life in prison for crimes against humanity, torture and rape. A victory for the survivors and their families. Suleiman, why don't we start from there? Indeed, a victory for the survivors and their families after all this long time.
Survivors and almost 40,000 people massacred or killed in cold blood by Hissein Habre's BDS security services. Yeah. It is really welcome news. It is a template for all those who are interested in justice, who are interested in the respect of human rights. And surely, it has been long. It has been long, 16 years. It has taken quite a space, but at last, it's good that it has come and people at last have to jubilate and close the chapter for this man. Let him rot in prison because he's among the callous, backward, and very cruel dictators who has ever lived on this continent.
Yes, many people have that opinion, especially those survivors. Seni, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Douglas.
Yes, just briefly tell us, what was the mood like? What was the reaction of the people after the sentence was given to Hissein Habre to go to jail for life.
Yeah, thank you very much, Douglas. In Dakar here and the Senegambia region, I can say entirely Africa, the conviction of Hissein Habre was met with celebration and jubilation from people from all walk of life. His conviction sent a signal to remaining African dictators that they can hide, but they cannot run from justice. Speaking with ordinary Senegalese in the streets of Dakar, they will tell you that this verdict is a clear testimony that Africa will get rid of the remaining dictators. If you recall, Habre escaped and then came into Senegal seeking asylum since 1999 when he was overthrown by the current president, Idriss Déby. So here in Senegal, people are celebrating the verdict because the victims have been seeking for justice for over two decades, and then justice has finally served. Others will tell you that they were expecting a death penalty for Habre because of his atrocities he committed, raping innocent women and doing ethnic cleansing. So the verdict went very well with the people here. But his supporters at the court will tell you that the verdict is harsh, and they were expecting an acquittal on this case because they believe that there is no enough evidence to secure conviction of Habre. But majority welcomed the verdict as a welcoming development.
Still with the people there, how did the people take it that this could happen in an African country, that Senegal could have this case heard all over these 9 months and give it a verdict?
Yeah, thank you. I think people knew that Senegal is one of those democratic countries in the region. And then people like us who have been advocating for for the rights of people, especially those in my country, the Gambia, believe that Senegal is setting a pace in terms of holding those powerful to account. And coming to Habre's conviction, it is sending another signal that, yes, Habre might not be the first and he will not be the last person. The Senegalese Extraordinary African Chamber Court, which was established by the African Union to try Habre and those associated with atrocities committed under his tenure. So Senegal is a country where justice, equality, and freedom of expression prevail. So people were not surprised, actually, with the turn of President Macky Sall. If you recall, Habre spent almost 20 years in Senegal, and he got married to a Senegalese. Ablaye Wade gave him a safe haven, and then when Wade left in 2012, when Macky came in, he was persuaded by Western powers to ensure that Habre did not escape justice. So there was a push and pull between the Western powers and the African Union, and the African Union came to conclusion that, look, we're going to try Habre in Africa, and we're going to fund his trial. So that gave birth to the Africa Extraordinary Chamber that accused and sentenced him to life imprisonment yesterday for crimes against humanity and war crimes, including killing and rape of women. So Dakar span on justice in Africa is held by all Africans, and I think this is a moment for other African countries to emulate. Yes, ICC is there, but most African countries did not recognize the rules of IEC because they believe that ICC is targeting only African head of state, not the Western leader. So the Dakar Court, I believe what African Union should do now is to give another mandate to this Africa Extraordinary Chamber to try order dictators like President Yahya Jammeh, who live next door to Senegal. So it's a very good move by the African Union, and I hope that Habre's conviction will not make the court to lose its legitimacy. I think this is a step in the right direction. The victims have waited for quite a long time, seeking for justice, and justice finally arrived.
Suleiman, I've just had Sandy's point there, but there are those who think that the Senegal might be the odd man out. How many other countries in Africa can try a fallen dictator and try him? Because most of them are known for harboring them instead and protecting them.
That is where we have a problem. That is why it is important to get democratic governments on the continent. Because as we speak, we have Haile Mariam Mengistu. He's still in Zimbabwe. This man, it is estimated that about 2 million people died in Ethiopia on his hands. He's still at large, and this man should have been tried, whether dead or alive. But they should be tried. In addition, but we should also say, much as there is no democracy, but we have to appreciate what is going on, not only in the Senegalese, in the Hissène Habré. We should also remember we have just had two convictions. Another one of Simeone Gbagbo. He was given by the Ivory Coast Court 20 years in prison because of the massacres that happened after her husband had been overthrown. I mean, had been defeated in the elections. There is also the one of Bemba, which was also pushed on him after the trial in the ICC. So, which means that slowly, through various means, Africa is showing that the impunity which has been going on for 50 years is almost coming to an end. People are getting outraged, and through various channels, these dictators are being surrounded, and sooner or later, all of them will be tried, whether in the Senegalese or any other country's capital. But we are surrounding them; the continent is surrounding them. Sooner or later, they will be surrounded.
Sani, how about those people who collaborated with Habre? What's their fate? Are there any people who are charged along him, or who may be charged? And do we have Seni? I think
that is also what is touching, and that is what we have to find out, that it is not enough for the punishment of only one, because Hissein Habre used that documentation and security directorate, the secret police,
yes,
which tortured, which killed, and for a long time. So which means they are commanders, they are people who are together with him, who should be brought to book, whether they are still alive or dead, but they should be tried, and it should go on record that these people are the ones who committed these atrocities. I believe they should also be tried, because it's not enough to take on one individual, whereas it was committed by a gang of people who behave like mafias.
Yeah, because that infamous documentation and security directorate, the DDS, the police as they used to call it, most people, dictators use these people to do the dirty work of killing and torture and all that. Saini is back online. I was about to ask you about other. Are there other people who are collaborators of Habre who may be charged or who are charged?
Oh, okay. The prime suspect is Hosni Habre. And then the court has been given mandate not only to try Hosni Habre, but all those that are associated with him, and they committed grave, hideous crimes against people of Chad. As we speak now, Habre is the only principal suspect that has been convicted by the court. But I am convinced that the court will resume its work to try other perpetrators of those crimes committed under Habre 88's reign.
I see. Suleiman, let's move on now to the... It took a lot of pressure from the International Court of Justice that ordered Senegal that either they prosecute the dictator or extradite him. We need to give credit to this court, because if it wasn't for that, maybe he could have slipped through the holes.
Yes, we need to give the credit to them, but also to give credit to the international community. Mm-hmm. France played a very big role. The United States of America also played a very big role. They financed the court. They put in some money. They give the moral support, much as the way the Secretary of State for America, Kerry, said that the government by then had supported Habre, but at this current time, it was very encouraging and it was very comforting to see that the Americans, known for their fight for human rights, known for their right for fight for justice, they were able to put it in practice. They were able to support the court. They were able to finance the court and to allow it to continue to be able to get Hissein Habre and to get him to book. Mm-hmm. So what we would propose and what we would recommend is that the international community continues to bag the quest for justice, the quest for the fight against impunity on the African continent. Mm-hmm. Maybe through that, the African governments, especially those dictators who are still killing, will get to know that things are not right on the continent as of now.
Well, for those who are just joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight, we're looking at the lessons learned from Hissein Habre's conviction and sentencing. Our panelists are Saini Marena, a Gambian journalist based in Dakar, Senegal, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst in Durban, South Africa. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9. Suleiman there mentioned the role of the international community, but there are those who point out that most of these dictators, and particularly even Hissein Habre, had a lot of support from the international community, the yes. U.S. support, the WHO.
Yes.
Some even argue that the support he got helped him properly terrorize his people. How do people see it there?
Yeah, many people also believe that, yes, international community can dine and wine with dictators. But at the end of the day, they will not allow dictators to kill people en masse like that. If you recall, Habre was used as a bulwark against the Libyans when they fought. Americans were supporting him, and then people believe that he in fact contributed to all the mess he's in now. But what is clear is that international community will not also sit down and then wait until crimes like this are committed without taking action. So people will tell you that there is double standard involved in international politics, which I believe, because I was speaking with a colleague journalist who once worked with the BBC. He said the court established by the African Union was bankrolled by the West. So he believed that still the West had some influence in the conviction and the sentences of Harper. So he said the West has an influence, and then they have a responsibility to play to in order to stop those crimes being committed. So the West accused of playing double standard. But for me, what is important is that dictators cannot be supported by democratic countries like the United States. We have moved from that time and age now. If you are a dictator, remember that, you know, at the end of the day, you will pay a huge price for crimes you committed during your stay in power. So basically, the international community must also act at the initial state of such crisis to avoid occurrence of this magnitude. Look at the Libyan crisis. People blame the international community of, you know, escalating the tension, which led to the death of Gaddafi. But what is clear is that, yes, we cannot also sit down and allow crimes of such to occur in our eyes. At the end of the day, we are going to defeat the creation of those international institutions like the United Nations, like the African Union. So for me, my issue is not with the international community supporting dictators. My issue is, why should dictators use their power and influence to torment and kill their own citizens just because they want to stay in power? Coming back home, Gambia, you know, is facing one of the worst tyrants in history. Yahya Jammeh has been in power for 22 years, and the international community have been warning him to respect rights and rights of Gambians. Today, I am just coming from an international press conference conveyed by the Amnesty International, a report on the Gambia. It's a damning report chronicling all the right abuses that have been taking place since the aftermath of the presidential election, and also the protests that led to death of one of the opposition activists, Solo Sande. So for me, international community must act quickly to deter other tyrants, tyrants from killing their own people just because they want to stay in power. Yes, I admit there is double standard in international politics, but in politics we say there is no permanent friend but permanent interest, Douglas.
I see. Suleiman, the but his point there, which is a valid point, Habre had 8 years to torture, kill, and as he did, Gaddafi had almost 40 years. And there are several of these dictators across the continent. They are given leeway to kill for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So even if you're going to bring justice after 30, 20 years, maybe just a bit, it's delayed justice. So why shouldn't the international community, those concerned, put pressure on these guys to, when they're still in power, doing this, committing these atrocities?
And what is most shocking is that the numbers are staggering. If you go to Eastern Central Africa, let us start from Ethiopia. Mengistu has got 2 million dead under his hands. Leave alone the first generation of killers, Idi Amin, Bokassa, Mobutu. Let's leave those ones who died under those ones. We've got the latest generation of the 90s. Rwanda, 800,000 dead in the conflict. DRC, over 5 million from 1998, from the 1990s. Uganda, the civil war, part of the civil war took about 800. Then another civil war in the north, another 1 million. then you have got Southern Sudan, then you have got Burundi. I mean, the people are just perishing. The conflict, the people who are involved, they are still at large. The presidents who have been involved are still at large. Laurent Nkunda in the DRC is still there. M23, all those who have tortured and killed people, they are still there. Why should the international community continue to support these governments? Why should the international community support to give, continue to finance them for whatever reasons? Why should they continue to encourage them instead of calling for their conviction the way it has been done to Hissène Habré? Because we are not talking of one person. Whereas Goodluck Jonathan in Nigeria said he's loss or his attempt to get power is not worth blood of a single Nigerian. We have got millions in Eastern Central Africa and in Gambia who are ready to spill blood and who are ready to kill and continue killing for the sake of either getting power or retaining the power which they have. And they are being allowed by the international community. I think it is the high time that international community takes change and then try to save the continent. Otherwise, our people on the continent are getting finished.
I see. Sani, there's also a big role of this AU's extraordinary African chambers. Is there a way African countries can get together to make it more useful, more preventive, at some point, to stop some dictators before they do so much damage? We may have lost again, Saini. I don't know what's with the phone lines. Let me put the question to Suleiman there. Is there anything that can be done by the African Union as it's constituted through these extraordinary African chambers to prevent these atrocities before they spread so much over a long period of time?
I think the dilemma which the African Union has is that it is the way in which it is... It is inherently weak because of the nature of its existence. For example, you'll find that the member states who constitute the AU, the majority of them are dictators. So it is very difficult to support such a court to continue because, for example, as I've said, in the Eastern Central African region, you find DRC, Rwanda, Uganda, Southern Sudan, Burundi, all those ones are just dictators. All of them have got a lot of blood on their hands. So if a resolution is put in the AU, you'll find those will be the first people to shoot it down. Mm-hmm. So that is the problem which we have. Unless, as we have said, the international community takes the lead so that it silences them, because many of them generally, they rely on this international community. If the international community takes a lead, then most likely there is a probability of success. Otherwise, now, after the conviction of Hissène Habré, you'll find that they work day and night to make sure that no other leader is taken to book the way it has done to Hissène Habré.
Saini, do you believe that some of the African leaders will get scared by this conviction and sentence, or maybe, as he says, they may just figure out a way of killing all the justice available?
Yes, Douglas, I think just to agree with my colleague, they will do all they can to discredit the court and also to see how best they can try to compromise the integrity of the court, as we've seen in the case of ICC versus Uhuru Kenyatta of Kenya. We have seen that the efforts of the ICC in bringing those people to justice have proved futile because of one reason or the other, intimidation of witnesses, and also the influence by the African Union to convince other countries to, you know, fight that case to out. So I think the African will also face challenges like this. People like Tamme, who is a trouble and a problem for the economic community of West African state, will do everything to ensure this court will not try any other leader. But the record is moving us from the line is... us more.
Sen's line is
to hold leaders to account.
I see. The line was not very good, but as Suleiman, as we wind up, what lesson do you think they will take? Those Africa's strongmen, will they be scared, or do you think they just kill the whole thing?
I have a feeling that, like Macbeth said in Shakespeare, they have gone so deep that going back, they see it as being useless. Many of them, if you see the arrogance, the way my colleague said, recently Gambia, Jaya Jammeh was being asked questions and he replied arrogantly. Recently in ECOWAS, they tried to put a 2-term limit and Yaya Jammeh was among those to shoot down the attempt to force the 2-term limit. So they would anything possible. You know, they are good in lobbying. They will do whatever they can to make sure that they shut down the attempt to prosecute them. But what is clear is that the continent is ready. The people on the continent are ready. If you look at what is happening in Ivory Coast, Bagbo is being tried. Simeon Bagbo is being tried. Nkunda was tried. Now Hessein Habre. Sooner or later, whether they like it or not, even those who have committed crimes against humanity, they will be touched dead or alive. Let them not think that Africa is sleeping. It is just a matter of time. If the international community can cooperate with some good elements, with some democratic people on the continent, all these dictators who have killed people will also find themselves in prison.
Briefly, in the last 30 seconds left, Suleiman, most of the Afghan strongmen, they know how to play their PR, their public relations. Now, they're the champions of fighting terrorism. So they use that to torture and kill their own people. How can you separate that from the cooperation and help they get from the international community as allegedly to fight terrorism?
That is the double standards which we are talking about, which is carried on by international community. But at the same time, we are being comforted by some awareness by some of the international community countries that realize that much as their efforts, much as they are contributing into fighting some of these evils on the continent, much as they have placed themselves as middlemen, but at the same time, it should not be at the expense of the population on the continent. The way the people have seen people, the way they are dying in Burundi, the way they are suffering in Burundi, it is not enough to say, yes, Burundi has got soldiers in Somalia, so it should be left to do whatever he likes in the at home. So again, the way Kerry said, he said, yes, Americans, we have done mistakes. We supported Hissène Habré. It should be a lesson for us to examine ourselves and find out the people whom we are supporting on the continent. So much as they are lobbying, but we hope slowly, with the campaigning and lobbying by the human rights organizations and non-government organizations, soon, if the international countries, international community comes on board, they will be surrounded, regardless of whether they are involved in fighting terrorism or not involved in fighting terrorism.
Well, I see, and that's all the time we have. But we must add that Hissène Habré's lawyer says he will appeal the guilty verdict. So maybe we don't know. But that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank Seni Marena, a Gambian journalist based in Dakar, Senegal, and Suleiman Mgula, a South African-based independent political analyst. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And our producer tonight, as usual, was Jackson Mvunganyi. Our engineer was Zygong Chang. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that you can hear our roundtable on the internet. All you have to do is go to our main website at www.voanews.com, click on programs, and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm Douglas Simpoga in Washington, wishing you all the best.